Chapter 14, The Gravity and Levity of the Situation. Protons, neutrons, electrons, whole atoms, and even clusters of 60 or more atoms called buckyballs have all been found to pop in and out of a wave-like state where they no longer appear to exist. With the help of Larson's new physics model, we now see that these particles are popping into a parallel reality called time-space, where time is three-dimensional. Dr. Vladimir Ginzburg turned a classic Einstein equation upside down and found that atoms and molecules lose mass as they are accelerated to the speed of light and beyond. Then, we discovered that by simply smashing or shaking an object, as in Kozarev's experiments, or rapidly rotating an object, as in De Palma's spinning ball experiment, we can apparently accelerate the internal movement in an atom past light speed and measurably reduce its weight. Kozarev also found that it took about 15 to 20 minutes for the missing mass to return, and it did so in sudden jumps, rather than a smooth gradual change, as we might expect. In this new science, gravity and time are interconnected. Ultimately, all atoms are vortexes of motion within an energy most people call gravity, and which we are calling the source field. Let's look at a whirlpool in a stream of water for a minute. Does any of that water actually disappear when it goes into the whirlpool? What happens to the water after it shoots through the vortex? Does it shift into some parallel reality, never to return? Of course not. The water is obviously still there in the stream, and it keeps right on flowing along. How does this apply to the Earth? Simply put, the energy flowing into the Earth must also flow back out of the Earth. Gravity, as a downward force, must also have an upward force. And my favorite name for gravity's counterpart is levity. The source field, or gravity, rushes into our planet to create all the atoms and molecules on Earth simultaneously. But it still has to keep moving. Once this same flow of energy streams back out of our planet, it has now lost some of its momentum, so it would be traveling a little more slowly than it went in. Once you understand this, you will see there may be an upward pushing force from the Earth that is in a constant tug of war with the downward pushing force. And the downward force only wins by a very small amount. If we did not have the upward pushing force to balance everything out, we would very likely be instantaneously crushed flat by the pressure of gravity. Atoms and molecules are nothing more than vortexes within gravity. In Larson's model, there are only three real dimensions. And in this absolute reality, space and time are one and the same. You then have two parallel realities where the space in one reality creates the time in the other reality, and vice versa. There is a constant flowing exchange between these two realities going on within every atom. When an atom pops over into time-space, its spinning momentum is transferred over into the fluid-like energy within the parallel reality, and it is no longer affected by gravity in our own space-time. Gravity now moves right through that area without pushing on the atom anymore. However, if the atom, or vortex in time-space, starts losing its speed and momentum, gravity pulls it back over into space-time. The full transition can take 15 to 20 minutes in a larger object with many atoms, as we saw in Kozarev's experiments. Interestingly, the renowned mathematician and physicist Roger Penrose said in a 1997 issue of Scientific American that gravity triggers the transition between a particle and a wave at the quantum level. Dr. Hal Puthoff calculated that there was a direct relationship between gravity and the trembling motion within all particles the Germans dubbed Zitterbewegung. Back in 1982, Princeton scientists had discovered that electrons become fluid-like when kept at super cold temperatures and zapped with the world's most powerful magnet. This fits very nicely with our model. The electrons seemed to cooperate and work together to form what scientists call a quantum fluid, an extremely rare situation where electrons act identically in lockstep, more like soup than as individually spinning units. Levity creates thrust. And here's my favorite part of all. Theoretically, an atom in space-time gets pushed on by gravity. But once an atom pops over into time-space, it gets pushed on by levity. This means that within our reality, that atom now has thrust as long as it is still bound together with other atoms that have not yet popped over. Therefore, if you want to get an object to levitate, you would need to bring its molecules to a point where they are half in and half out of our own three-dimensional reality of space-time. That way, the levity force can then balance out against gravity, not unlike how you can float perfectly still underwater by controlling how much air you hold in your lungs. If you push an object too far over into time-space, it will dematerialize. Then the same force that was causing it to rise up in our reality will now make it fall down in the parallel reality. Gravity takes over, but in a totally parallel reality. This may work in a manner similar to a Möbius loop as you pass between realities. Nature uses these principles all the time. The DNA molecule stores photons of light, and it appears that this same flip-flopping at the light-speed boundary is what allows DNA to easily exchange energy and information between space-time and time-space, between our physical body and our energetic duplicate. In the remaining part of this chapter, we will explore gravity shielding effects occurring in air vortexes, tornado levitation, water vortexes, trout rising through vertical waterfalls, plant fibers, the secret ingredient involved in sap flow, and insect wings to keep certain large insects airborne and prevent collisions with other insects. Not to mention the flow of electromagnetic energy, once properly understood. And that's not all. Tornado anomalies explained. Let's start with tornadoes. The conventional explanation is that the levitation inside a tornado is caused by air suction. And that certainly should account for some of what we're seeing. However, once you add in other curious effects that have been documented, even on government NOAA websites, we can no longer be so sure that this is the only cause of the levitation, or even the main cause of it. There are many cases of people, animals, objects, even entire homes ending up inside a whirling tornado and transported large distances without being damaged, where the fiercely rotating air should have torn them to pieces. Many matter-blending effects have been documented as well. The first time I read about this was in a technical paper by Dr. Alexei Dmitriev. The story that jumped out at me the most was of a clover leaf that had been found pushed into a stucco wall during a tornado, as if the wall had become soft and spongy. At the time, this was a mystery to me, but now it all makes sense. Another good example was of an Oklahoma tornado in 1942 that tore one of the wheels off of a car while leaving the rest of the car undamaged. I realized that if the lug nuts on the wheels had become soft and liquid-like, the levity force could then pull the tire off the car and lift it into the air quite easily. Dmitriev's paper also presents evidence of complete dematerialization cases, where the matter is then blended together with other objects once it pops back over into space-time. An old, charred wooden board that was brittle and porous went through a wooden house wall without breaking, and an inch and a half thick gate frame was punctured by a piece of wood. I realized if these stories were true, there should be many more examples. I later found an official NOAA government website that collected eyewitness reports from a tornado outbreak in Grand Rapids, Michigan on April 3, 1956. NOAA said that, in the interest of historical accuracy, these statements have not been edited for content, but are presented as they were submitted to the National Weather Service. The reports included a living room window that was embedded with sand but did not break. A farm machine had several leaky holes in the oil pan from pieces of straw that had shot through. Straw was found embedded into the brick wall of a house. A 3-inch twig blended into a wall without breaking or cracking the twig or the wall. Blades of grass were driven into tree trunks, and a cow became embedded in a tree. In her Weatherbug blog, Stephanie Blosey alluded to stories of a coat hanger blended into a wooden board and wood splinters stuck into a brick, though no direct references were given. In the comments section, Russell L. DeGarmo claimed he saw a 2x4 driven through both the front and back walls of a 2-story brick home, where the entry hole was smaller than the size of the plank. His parents had driven him to see this odd event in Pennsylvania in the early 1940s. Another commenter claimed to have seen a banana embedded halfway into a telephone pole. And Jim Mims claimed that NASA's Marshall Space Flight Center in Huntsville, Alabama, has a display of a section of telephone pole with a drinking straw embedded into it. Stephanie was brave enough to offer an opinion about what causes these events, which now seems fairly accurate. Another theory, based on quantum physics, states that the piece of straw is electrically charged super fast as it spins in the center of the tornado, allowing it to exist on a higher energy density. When it flies out of the tornado and comes in contact with something of a lower energy density, it passes through that object like a ghost until the energy levels are equal and the straw is frozen in the object. Of course, numerous commenters attacked her for even stating this as a potential explanation. In Freaks of the Storm, climatologist Dr. Randy Cherveni shared additional examples. A Minnesota tornado split open a tree, jammed in an automobile, and clamped the tree shut again in 1919. A tornado in India from 1838 caused a long stalk of bamboo to be completely embedded through a 5-foot-thick wall with bricks on both sides. In 1896, a tornado in St. Louis, Missouri drove a 2x4 plank of pine wood through solid iron, 5/8 of an inch thick, on the Eads Bridge, and there is an excellent picture of it in the book from NOAA. In Mount Carmel, Illinois, a tornado in 1877 drove a brick through the outer wall of a house, the interior wood, the plaster wall, 27 more feet between two rooms, and lodged it into a rear wall without ever breaking any corners off the brick. In 1951, a bean was blended halfway into a fresh chicken egg without ever cracking the shell in Scottsbluff, Nebraska. Cherveni found a photograph of this peculiar incident, though there is not enough detail to really see what the egg looks like up close. Washburn University has a website discussing the June 8, 1966 tornado in Topeka, Kansas. This includes a report from Jan Griffin that describes how, when her car was dug out from the wreckage 2 days later, items from her bathroom had somehow appeared in the trunk, though she obviously did not put them there and apparently saw no sign of the trunk ever having opened. Another website features a photograph of glass pieces that had been embedded into an aluminum pipe in a tornado on the Isle of Wight on June 19, 1985. In 2004, The Boonschaft Museum of Discovery displayed bizarre artifacts that historical societies like to keep under wraps in Dayton, Ohio, as reported in an AP press release. This exhibit included a gas meter that had been speared by a stick of wood in the Xenia tornado from 1974. In some cases, strange orbs are seen. The NOAA website reported eerie, yellow-colored, giant puffballs in one tornado. Fred Schmidt reported seeing what looked like greenish, glassy marbles on a plate glass window that were being pushed across the sky. There was no rain, thunder, or lightning as he saw this. He also reported what now appears to be a classic case where he was popped over into time-space, thus causing all the normal sounds within space-time to disappear. The quietness was eerie. There were no birds singing, which there usually were. In fact, there were no sounds from any animals at all. I also later saw what appeared to be a straw embedded in a telephone pole about halfway in, just as perfect as could be. Natural anti-gravity in water, trees, and insects. A simple case of rotating air is enough to cause effects that fit our model nicely. What about rotating water? Let's not forget that in our new model, gravity has spin currents in it, because it is caused by a fluid-like energy. If these spin currents get strong enough, by rotating vortex motion within the source field, they can create their own gravitational force. They usually work in a sideways direction, creating rotating currents, such as tornadoes, hurricanes, ocean currents, and mantle currents below the continental plates. But in some cases, this force can directly counteract the normal downward push of gravity. As Olaf Alexanderson described in the classic Living Water, Victor Schauberger allegedly discovered a gravity-shielding effect in nature by studying how trout could jump straight up through high waterfalls with seemingly very little effort. For decades, he observed that the fish would first dance in a wild spinning movement and then float motionlessly upward through the waterfall, even at unusually large heights. Even more surprisingly, on a late winter night with bright moonlight, he witnessed this same effect happening with egg-shaped rocks. He was looking into a mountain pool within a rushing stream when an egg-shaped stone, almost as big as a human head, started doing a spinning dance just like the trout would do. It then rose to the surface of the water, and a circle of ice quickly formed around it. Such bizarre and sudden changes in temperature are also consistent with matter popping into time-space. Remember, we might think that a gateway into time-space would increase temperature, but Kozarev actually proved it makes things colder. Eventually, Schauberger saw several egg-shaped stones all do the same thing in sequence. He analyzed them and found that besides the egg shape, they all contained metals. How do giant trees actually pull sap all the way up their trunks? Physicist Dr. Orvin E. Wagner, who worked at Oak Ridge National Laboratory, taught physics at California State Polytechnic University, and conducted research in condensed matter physics at Lockheed Research Laboratory in Palo Alto, California, researched this subject. He did biophysics research since 1966 that led him to discover a wave effect in plants as of 1988, wherein he began devoting himself full-time to studying these mysteries. In 1992 and 1994, he published papers in mainstream journals outlining his discovery that plants and trees are using a gravity-shielding effect to create sap flow. Although some of the flow could be caused by suction from the evaporation in the leaves, that cannot account for everything Wagner observed. It appears that the branches of trees create a vortex effect, not unlike what we see in the pyramids. They may create a rotating spin current of gravitational force that is sufficient to push the sap up the tree. Wagner cut small holes into the xylem tissue of trees and used tiny accelerometers to confirm that gravity was not as strong inside those areas. Tiny hanging weights recorded a decrease of up to 22% of the force of gravity inside vertical holes of slightly leaning trees. He also found similar forces in a hole within a horizontal root, creating thrust in the direction the root was pointing. Wagner believes that inside the plant tissue itself, likely the forces are much larger. He also found consistent evidence that plant branches tend to grow at angles that are always multiples of 5 degrees, suggesting they are somehow harnessing a spiraling, geometric wave component that naturally exists within gravity. Wagner also claims to have demonstrated the existence of these waves by simply rotating glass tubes filled with particles of dust. The waves appeared in how the particles arranged themselves. Wagner has an interesting theory of how all this works. A growing plant stem acts like a tuned wave guide. A stem growing at a certain angle to the gravitational field adjusts its cell sizes, internodal spacings, and other structures to conform to the geometric wavelengths associated with that particular angle. Dr. Viktor Grebennikov was an entomologist, insect scientist, who discovered the cavity structural effect as we previously discussed, but this also led to a realization that certain insects appear to be naturally using gravity shielding technology as well.